I meant to bring these magazines that I have this English version of this tea magazine, and they talk about certain things about like the tea where they'll discuss like you know having enough teacups for and in Taiwan they collect all these teapots, so they'll have like many teapots, many teacups. And so anytime any people come over, let's have some tea, yeah. If you're a tea person. This one, so, you know, but this is sort of a Taiwan-style interaction, mm-hmm. you know. And, like, another interesting point in for example, that this distinction of, say, this type of tea is called Gong Fu Cha, or Taiwan, you know, they call it Lao Ren Cha, old people tea, mm-hmm. Kung Fu tea. You know, these things. Old people tea, because it's associated with you have to have a lot of free time. And they think, for some reason, they think old people have a lot of time on their hands. I forgot what I was going to say exactly on that one.
But what you made me realize in listening to your talk is some of the times when we do field work, the artists will, to greater and lesser extents, engage in this kind of activity. So I'm thinking of the artist in Songjiang, who your team, who clearly had an arrangement similar, not just like this, but more involved in the preparation of the tea and serving
it. Yeah, there was a sort of constant making of the tea, very much like a performance around it.
Yeah, and then the...
Right, so in one of the big distinctions between like this kind of tea in Taiwan and China versus say like in India or Japan tea culture, in Taiwan it's really considered a sign of, they say xiu in Buddhism is means refinement, mm-hmm. rounding the like everyone comes in the world like a square cube, mm-hmm. and the idea is to become a circle. This is the concept of xiu, and it's just constantly rubbing off the rough spot. Mm-hmm. This tea, to make tea, is a chance to show your xiu, to show, because, to demonstrate, because you, to make tea well, you need to talk to tea, you need to have a conversation. So, first, settle your mind, heart, brew tea, and if you're settled, then the tea will taste good. This is the idea. And two, it's like, you can tell, too, just by... like if you practice the zazen or dazhou, they go, these people are all in this. They do this. They you get a sense of like someone's like, oh, their energy is either just still, but one of the key distinctions between Taiwan tea cultures, or say China Taiwan tea culture, and these other tea cultures is, in Taiwan, the host makes tea. In China and in India, you know, you little boy, or like lower status person make tea. Japan, lower status person make tea. You know, this in Taiwan is I'm the host. Yeah. Now I make tea for you.
Yeah,
you know, even though I'm the most important, I invited everyone here. Yeah. You know, I've or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter how wealthy, how smart, anything.
Right. I'm
here you go.
Yeah.
Then it's that's a big. So that's another topic in these magazines. They talk about sort of these distinctions in the tea world between. It's quite, and so you know, and then the people that have been in the tea world for the older generation, they can go on lecturing for hours about, like, you know, a tea brew competition. Afterwards, they have days and days of discourse. Why, you know, why did so-and-so get this many points for that? And why is it, you know, and it's very important to them. But because the thing is that tea culture is alive, and it's always changing. Each generation, you know, takes it from the last. And so you just only can learn from that, from the previous generation.